They change cultures. They're heat seekers. They run at adversity and embrace change. These are the Room Tilters.
Somebody who can change the temperature in a room when they walk in. Mm. And that's metaphorical for somebody who can influence those around them and make such an impact quickly, emphatically, and long-lasting, whether it be an organization, a team, a relationship, whatever it might be.
This is the Room Tilters podcast, presented by Limitless Minds. Co-hosts DJ Eitzen and Harry Wilson, founders of peak performance and leadership consulting company, Limitless Minds, explore how the best and brightest change the temperature in a room. From sports, the military, entertainment and media, clinical psychologists to CEOs, this podcast will navigate what it takes to think big and go far. And now, DJ and Harry.
All right, baby. We're back on the Room Tilters podcast, and we have a really special guest today, somebody that I literally grew up watching, as they say, and somebody, you know, have an opportunity to both work with, live with, and it's my little brother, Russell Wilson, quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks, and DJ, we've been waiting for an opportunity to get somebody on that people might know, because, you know, we got like 3 listeners at this point.
Hey, listen, stop, man. I just checked. We had like 75 views. Okay. So it's increasing.
We're going to make them views go up then.
That's right.
We're just starting though. So, you know, you got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, that's right. But Russ, man, thanks for joining, man. Exciting.
Yeah, it's obviously super exciting. Obviously, what we've been on to do with Limitless Minds has been super exciting to be a part of with you guys and co-founding Limitless Minds and all the amazing companies and people we've been on to work with and some of the top leaders in the world, business leaders and so forth. And where we're headed is beyond me just thinking about how exciting everything is. But I think that ultimately to work with you two guys, one, Harry, I just love you to death, obviously being my brother, but just what you've meant to me in my world. And DJ, I know we've gotten to know each other over the past really couple years now.
That's right.
It's been really a joy just to be around you and get to know you and what you mean to, one, my brother, and what you've meant to him over the years. And Your tenacity to be great has been awesome to be a part of. And then shout out to our guy, Trevor, to do this whole thing with him too as well.
That's right.
That's right. You know, it's interesting. It's I was thinking about the other day, about 10 years ago, you were drafted by the Colorado Rockies. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people thought, you know, this man's going to play some baseball and see if he can make it to the big leagues. And it's just interesting to see how that journey's kind of, changed, right? From that moment, right? And kind of, you know, certainly over a decade of time in any world, you kind of, you know, you kind of reflect back on different forks in the road, things, choices you've made, and whatnot. But, you know, you're now in year 8 of your NFL career. You know, tons happened. Super Bowls won, Super Bowls lost. You know, records broken and records still to be attained. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great, man. I remember being drafted on June 8, 2010. And the next day, you know, Dad passed away. You know, and how heavy that was, but also what a blessing it was to know that, you know, he was going to a better place. And really, it was kind of just I think he was giving the seal of approval over your life. You had just gotten married, and given the approval of my life and just sports and where I was going to be headed. He just knew something that I didn't even fully know. And then our little sister Anna, you know, where she was going to be going, and you know, just. He challenged her when she was really young just to be great at everything she did, and sure enough, she is, being at Stanford now and playing basketball and everything else. And so I think, I think that when I look back on it, I'd never forget, you know, being drafted, you know, Dad passing away, having to go to the funeral, then being in the hotel room in Denver, looking out the window. I was wearing a suit and tie and a Rockies hat, and looking out the window, I mean, like, man, I'm going to make it in the big leagues. Yeah. And I had played great in college football and played baseball and all that stuff and everything else. But I was like, man, I'm going to make it in the big leagues. I'm going to go into Coors Field and sitting right behind home plate with my agent, lawyer, Mark Rogers, and being in the locker room with the fellows, Todd Helton and the guys, and Troy Tulowitzki, who's been a good friend now over the past year or so since I've gotten to know him through the Yankee spring training and everything else, and also knowing him when we were training together for the Rockies. But anyways, when I reflect back on that, I remember sitting behind a home plate and Todd Helton was walking up to the plate, a former quarterback, ironically, behind Peyton Manning. I told Mark, and I leaned to him. He was sitting to my left, and I leaned to him. I said, you know, Mark, the funny thing is that I'm going to play in the NFL. I'm going to play pro baseball. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. And I think back to that. I think back to, you know, that moment of my life. And I think back to where I am today and, you know, 10 years later. It's been an amazing journey. It's been an amazing journey of success. It's been an amazing journey of fighting for everything, every moment, every play, every down, every situation. It's been an amazing moment of life's ups and downs, losing you know, dad, obviously, having to go through divorce, which is unfortunate, but then finding love again and just finding what love really is like and getting married, which is such a blessing, having a child, having a little daughter, being a stepdad. I mean, just the love that I have for Baby Future and just how amazing that is, and just really finding out what love is really like by loving a child that's not necessarily biologically yours, but to love them like they are, to winning a Super Bowl and hosting the trophy and holding that up, where you guys were there, the whole family and everything else, to unfortunately being right there to hold another one and not work the way that I wanted it to, but also realizing that there's so much more in store. Mm-hmm. And I think that when I think about Ryan right now and ironically, being the highest paid player in the NFL, to be honest with you, is kind of crazy to think about. When I think about that, because, you know, people said I would never make it, you know, right. And it's like, it's a testament to hard work. It's a testament to belief. It's a testament to love. It's a testament to just being relentless, you know, being a person that just, I'm going to go for it. And if I'm going to take the risk and I'm going to go for it, I'm going to make it. And if I fall, well, I'm going to fall hard. But if I get on top of there, you know what, then everybody else, you're going to look up and be like, man, I wish I had the boldness that he had. You know, and so I think that it's been cool. It's been a cool journey.
Those that have been listening, you know that this whole concept of Room Tilters kind of was born from, you know, meeting John Schneider, GM of Seattle Seahawks, in a Marriott, and him telling me about, you know, you and his perspective on you being a Room Tilter. I know we talked about that a little bit. I would love for you to kind of give your perspective on what a Room Tilter is in your world, right? How is that manifested in your world? Somebody that's able to change the temperature in a room, amongst their peers, their team, their organization.
Well, I think from a football perspective, when a guy walks onto the field, do they bring a certain presence, a certain swagger? Do they bring a certain confidence to the huddle, to the field? When the ball's in the air, do you believe every time they get the ball? Like, one of my favorite things about Michael Jordan when I was growing up, every time there was a timeout at the end of the game, you knew who was getting the ball when they came out of that timeout. You know who's taking the shot. And that's a Room Tilter to me. Somebody who, you know, like they come into the room and they make the place a better place than when they first got there. They make it even better. They make that organization, they make that team, they make the game of basketball, they make the game of football, they make the game of business better, right. You know, and I guess the question is, you know, are you a Room Tilter or not? And how do you become one? I think that, one, it's an innate thing. I think that you have to have it. I think, two, it's definitely a thing that you have to work on. It doesn't just, you know, you don't just become a great golfer, a great tennis player, a great football player, or whatever, you know, by not working at it. Mm-hmm. You have to work at your craft. You have to work on how you say things, how you think about things, what you don't do, you know, right. All those things. And I think that's all critical component of becoming a Room Tilter. But I think ultimately, does that person affect others in a positive right. manner?
You mentioned pressure. And, you know, Trevor talks a lot. For those who don't know, Trevor Moad is Russell Wilson's mental conditioning coach, one of the world's best, also the CEO of Limitless Minds, our company. But Trevor talks a lot about pressures of privilege. And I know you guys have discussed that. You know, tell us about that. Like, when you talked about how that and how it pertains to tilting a room, you said that you want that pressure. How does that feel? Like, and tell us, you know, kind of a little bit more about that.
Well, I think the term pressure as a privilege is, if there's no pressure on you, then the reality is you know, nobody's really looking at you. Mm-hmm. I think at the end of the day, you know, I'm one of 32 men in the world that get to do what I get to do, playing quarterback, right? Yep. So there's real organic, natural pressure to that, right? But if I was, let's just say I wasn't in the spot that I'm in, you know, and, you know, I'm watching a football game and I'm watching I'm watching the team that I love, well, there's not really any pressure on me, to be honest with you. But if you're playing in the game, you're the one in the midst of the battle, in the midst of what you're going through, then that's real pressure. And I think that, you know, how you deal with that pressure is real. I think how you look at it is it can be a privilege or it can be a curse. And to me, I look at it as a privilege. It's a blessing to be able to do what I get to do. And like, I'd rather be doing this than not doing it.
I think that people who are watching, you know, elite performers or you know, CEOs or business leaders perform, they, you know, I think there's a lot of different ways you can approach your strength and your weaknesses, right? Your strengths and your weaknesses. How does somebody like you think about those, right? Do you how much time do you spend on working on weaknesses versus your strengths?
That's a good question. I think in the performance world, like in terms of playing wise, I think that I would say that you 70% working on your strengths. I don't know. I think all of it you have to work on, but I think that like naturally you're gonna want to win the play. So, you know, my strengths are gonna be. This game of football is a little bit different because like your strengths, like for example, I'll say some of my strengths. Okay, throwing a deep ball. Okay, I work on that naturally because the guy's running deep and I throw it to him and I work on that every day. Okay, but you know some of my other strengths are be like scrambling. I don't scramble every day in practice, so. You know, that's one of my strengths, but it's just something that I innately do.
Survival.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then, you know, I think that one of the things that I always constantly work on 100% of the time is my footwork. I'm always constantly working on that because it determines the success of the play, in my opinion.
So let me ask you this, though. Let me ask you this because there's another – you're not just defined by football, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're, you know, you're an entrepreneur. You know, your hobby is business, right? Creating opportunities, creating new – and so I have got to imagine because that's not your everyday job necessarily that there – have you identified – how you handle it there, is it different? You know, I mean, are there strengths and weaknesses that you have? And actually, I really want to focus on, because a lot of times, listen, everybody's always kissing your butt, right? Because, you know, you're Russell Wilson, you're an NFL quarterback, and it's in, you know, the time you get to spend with people, they want to tell you how awesome you are. But I'm your big brother, so we can talk about weaknesses,
yeah,
too.
Bit,
you
just,
know what I mean?
Like
no, but like, with weaknesses, though, you know, in business, right? What are some of those things that you think you're wanting to work on, whether it's, you know, leadership in the business space?
Well, I think the great thing about playing quarterback and translating to business is it's all about communication. So that's definitely one of my strengths. Like, communication is something that I love doing. I would say that my biggest weakness just in life, and which translates to business and even sports sometimes, is it's just time, you know, to be honest with you. There's just not. It feels like there's sometimes not enough time for others, for the things that, you know, sometimes I really want to do, to be honest with you, but there's just not enough time to do it all. And I think time can be a weakness in the sense that, you know, trying to decipher what's more important, this thing or that thing. And to me, I always feel like I can do it all. That's just my thing. Yeah, I can do all this, I can do that, and I can find a way to make more time for it. And I think as I've gotten older, being just turned 30, but I think the reality is that I've starting to figure out that one of my weaknesses is trying to entertain everybody's time. Mm-hmm. And I just can't. There's 24 hours in a day, then, you know, 16 of those hours a lot of time are just football hours. You know, and I think that when it comes to business, my mind is always like, people always ask me, like, how do you do it all? And I think it's really one of my greatest strengths is having great people around me to help me. And I figure that out because, like I said, time is probably my greatest weakness. My greatest strength is having others around me that are really good at what they do, which before I used to think I could handle it all. And now I'm like, okay, well, shoot, that's my weakness. So I don't have enough time to do it all. And neither am I smart enough to do it all necessarily all the time. So maybe what I should do is hire all the smart people to help me do that. And that's been great, you know. And so I think that's been awesome to be able to hire great people, to have great people around me to decipher what's most important, to make the right decision, to create business, to create opportunities. I'm a visionary, as you are, Harry, as you are, DJ. And I think that the reality is that I have a lot of great ideas, and then it's time to make those ideas come to life. And to be able to pass those ideas to others and trust that they're going to get it done. To be honest with you, it's kind of like Limitless Minds.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I want to work with you. I want to do this. I want to help create this with you guys and everything else. And the reality is for 6 months of the year, I'm pretty busy. And so you guys are the ones dominating the business in terms of really being able to create something that's really long lasting for not just corporations, but for people all around the world. And that's been really, really cool. And I can trust that. I know that it's going to get handled. I know that's so that's a great example, to be honest with you.
That's cool. That's really cool. Yeah, you know, it's one of the things in when we talk, you talk a lot about like belief and, you know, your faith. Tell us how your faith has played a role in your mindset.
Well, I think faith is, and this is different for everybody. Mm-hmm. I know for me, my faith has given me balance. It's given me light. It's given me light, like vision, but it's also given me a lightness. Not stressing as much to, you know, worry of, you know, one of my favorite scriptures is Matthew 6:33, and says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It says all these things. And then verse 34 says, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough words in itself. And I think that that was a critical scripture in my lifetime when I was about 20, 21 years old, and I was about to get drafted in baseball, and I was fighting to figure out, did I go baseball, did I go football? And I remember my mom telling me, you have a scripture to stand on. I remember saying that scripture day in and day out, day in and day out. And it's all a scripture that I write on my wrist a lot of times right before games, you know, on my tape. Yeah. It's something that has always given me a kind of reminder that, why am I, don't worry. God's gonna handle it. It's going to work out. And, you know, and just try to do your best every day. And I think that's been critical to me in terms of my faith, is just trusting that it's going to get handled and God's going to do his work. And, you know, to me, it's just about being obedient to just loving others, you know, and just loving other people. You know, so many people talk about religion and faith and everything else, right? And I think ultimately it's really about me caring and serving. And that's what God did. That's what Jesus did. And not everybody believes in the same religion. That's okay, you know. But at the end of the day, it's like, can we love other people? Can we help other people? Can we serve? Can we give back? Can we try to make the world a better place? And that's, you know, somebody asked me, would you ever do politics, or would you ever be, are you interested in politics? I said, no, I'm not interested in politics. I'm interested in people, you know, and so it's about people, you know. So,
you know, you talked about room tilting on the field, right? That swag, you know, the ability to people look you in the eye, especially as a quarterback, and see, you know, that how, you know, the poise and the determination and all that stuff. I think that, you know, outside of, and really even on the field, but, and in the building, right, at the VMAC and et cetera, but even just in business and as you work with your team here West to East, That's what's really important, I think, from a leadership perspective, is that caring, that servant leadership, right? That I think that's something that you gather from your faith.
And I can always do that better, you know? Like I said, I think you can always the thing about it is, once you think you have it, once you think you've done it and you've figured it out, that's when you lose it. I think for me is, like, staying – this is the fascinating part about Limitless Minds, for example, is that, like, it's – I truly believe that my mind, I can go compete with anybody in terms of how I think about it, how I'm going to be in the fourth quarter, whatever. I think God's gifted me with that, and I've worked at it. But it's something I continually work at.
Right.
It's something I work on every week, you know, and it's critical, you know. So I know that's my competitive advantage.
You are somebody that many people look to as that example of, you know, tilting a room and changing the temperature in the room and an organization and a culture. Who are some of those people for you, right, that people might not necessarily think about right away? You know what I mean? Is there some individuals out there that you'll go to or that you really, really observe that lead people in the way that you want to lead people?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, I think, you know, it's just in our family, you know, I think you were one of those people for sure, you know, our parents and all that. And I think from now in my lifetime, I would say Coach Carroll is definitely one of those people who's, I think, you know, he's just consistent every day. You know what you're going to get. But I would say, like, you know, from the business world, Kenny Dichter. He's like a father figure to me. He's just
wheels up
CEO. He's just been an amazing figure for me, and just got to know him over the years since Wisconsin days. And he's been an amazing friend, business associate, partner. Been just a brilliant mind that I can lean on. Hey, I got a question. Hey, I got this. Hey, I got... You know, it could be from family to all the way to, you know, I remember telling him I met Sierra, and, you know, that she may be the one, you know, and he was like, well, let me meet her, blah, 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 you know. And so, Yeah, so, you know, Mark Rogers would definitely be one of those people. He's my agent, lawyer, his father figure to me, too, as well. Just important person in my life that's been with me for the past 10 years. The past 10 years of my life, man, I think back to when I was 20 years old. Man, I remember what that was like. And just, man, 10 years. What am I going to do the next 10 years? Whew, watch out. You know, and so I think about just what that's going to look like, you know. And so I think having that vision, I think ultimately, to be honest with you all, It's got to be you. The reality is you can listen to anybody else and hear anybody else and people give you advice and da-da-da-da-da. It's not you that you're doing it, but it's got to be you that you're believing and you're convincing yourself that you can do it. You know, you got to have great people around you. You got to surround yourself around amazing people. But ultimately, you got to be the one getting up in the morning looking forward to doing it, looking forward to what's going to be next. Man, watch God. What is he going to do next in my life? Man, I can't wait to what's going to happen today. Man, that was a tough day yesterday, but man, they better watch out today because it's going to be a good day. And I think that's the mentality that we need to have, that why not you attitude, that belief that just great things are in store, great things are going to happen. Speaking life, why would you speak any other way? Why? Why would you waste your time doing anything else? Because it's not going to get you anywhere. So remaining neutral, remaining with great language, remaining focused on what the goal is, what the mission is, staying focused on the challenge. And the ultimate goal is critical. And there's only one way to think. There's only one way to practice. There's only one way to play, you know, and I think that's critical.
Can I ask you a few quick, like really quick, rapid-fire questions?
Yeah, sure. Ready.
To get to know Russell Wilson. So favorite music group, musician, dead or alive?
Man.
Can't say Sierra.
Yeah, okay, can't say Sierra. Michael Jackson is one of my favorite artists, Earth, Wind & Fire. Those two groups.
Earth, Wind & Fire.
Yeah, they performed at our wedding.
Remember that? Nice, yeah. I had to change my pants after that. It was incredible.
Why, are you peed in your pants? Or just,
yes,
just...
because of the excitement of Earth, Wind & Fire coming out and just killing the game for 3 hours straight. Hidden talent?
I would say singing, but I think it's just a thought thing.
So that would be a lie.
Cooking.
Oh, very nice. So are we talking about like on the grill? Or are we talking about in the kitchen?
I can do it in the kitchen.
Well, what would be your go-to?
My ribs are hands down the best.
You smoke? Really? Are you smoking them? What are you doing?
I'm not telling
okay,
you.
Okay, my bad.
It's a hidden talent.
Okay, that's true. I did say hidden. That's a good point. I did say hidden. Instagram or Twitter? And why?
I use both. I like the gram, but I would say I'm more of a Twitter person, actually. Just because I like getting, I get my news fast. Usually I'm in meetings, I'm in and out, and just to like see like, oh, okay, that's this team won this, or this is what's going on in the world, whatever it is. I would say that's probably my place first.
Favorite food, not that you cook, so no ribs.
I love sushi.
Oh, is there a sushi place in Seattle that we should be going to?
Umi sushi. Go to my girl RC. She's the best.
Okay, this message is sponsored by Umi in Seattle. What about a biggest regret? This is the last one.
Well, I mean, I wish you won the Super Bowl. That'd be great. To be honest, but
that's fair. That's a fair one.
I don't really have regrets. I think that the reality is that you know, I've lived my life loving and caring for others and trying to do my best at all times and trying to, you know. So I think that you go through life and you realize that, you know, you have highs and lows and. But it's all lessons to me. Where I am today and where God has put me is, man, I thank God every day just for giving me grace, giving me peace, giving me my family. So it's all been a formula. It's all been part of the journey, you know. I don't know. I mean,
I like that. I like kind of thinking about regrets differently, like lessons rather than regrets.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's, you know, all the things that you go through in life are. You know, or trying to, if I had, maybe this is the better question for me, and I'll ask myself this, but one of the coolest things I always think about is, what would be my one wish? If I had one wish, I would say just to spend another day with my dad, our dad, you know, just to see what would he be doing right now? He used to run up and down the sidelines with you, you know, he'd run up the sidelines with me too, but I usually was throwing it. So, but you know, I think about you know, I think about that, just where he would be, you know, his energy, his how much joy he would have on his face just to be around with us. So that would be my one wish. You know, I think if I had one wish, it'd be to see him again, to spend time with him again.
Yeah, we share that wish, man, because, you know, obviously in the last we talked about the last decade and, like, holy shit, the things that have happened over the last decade. Both, you know, obviously me observing you as an older brother, Anna, of course, into my life, you know, three kids, marriage, the whole nine. And it's crazy to think that your dad wasn't there to see it live right now. You always believe that he's had a great seat and been watching everything, but, you know, it would be great to, like, pick up the phone and call, you know what I mean? Or to reach out or to enjoy these football games with my, like, I can only imagine sitting in the, you know, in the seat next to dad watching these games or, like, watching TV. It would be, like, it would be everything, right? And so you miss those opportunities and everything. But I appreciate how your response on the regret and kind of more about lessons, and I think that's really good stuff. We appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, man, this is fun. We got to do it more often. Room Tilt is pretty sweet. We need more people listening to this. This is great. It's so much fun.
Yeah, I think I just checked, man. We're up to 76.
Well, this is going to go up fast. Once we post this, it's going to go up.
And we're going to post it. You know what I mean? It's going to get crazy.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it, dude. We'll do this again. And, you know, don't forget about your big brother, man. You know what I mean? Get on our podcast, guy.
Yeah, it's good. We got him on, though, man. We got him on.
It's about time. You know what I mean? No, thanks, man. We appreciate you. We love you. And we'll talk soon.
All right. Love you guys. Dream big. Think big. Think big. Go far.
That's it.
That's right.
I'll see you guys.
Peace. You've been listening to the Room Tilters podcast, hosted by DJ Eitzen and Harry Wilson, presented by Limitless Minds.